Yeah, yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geek Enders Podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geek Enders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time on gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Geek Enders.
Welcome, welcome.
With Brett.
Hello.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
It's Geek Enders Live. Welcome, yeah, welcome, welcome.
Yeah, this is going to be the, now that I'm here, this is going to be,
all
a Fergie fest.
All the time.
All yes, Fergie. Exactly. It.
Fergie forever.
Shout out to Fergie.
I hope she's doing well, you know?
Yeah.
What is she doing now? I would love to know.
That's what I was saying.
I think Fergie has a kid living her life. Good glamorous.
First topic, Fergie.
What is Fergie doing?
What is
Brett,
Fergie doing?
Tell me.
I don't know. I'll Google it for you. I can help you out with
that. Thank you. Yeah, if you could do that, that would be great.
What is Fergie doing?
What Fergie doing?
Since Leave the Black Eyed Peas, Fergie has released her second solo album. This is in 2023.
She released an album in 2023?
Yeah, she did. A solo album in 2023.
I wince because I don't think I've heard any of the songs on it, so.
Oh my God, what the heck? Her personal life includes a divorce from her previous husband. Her father died, and then she is focusing on motherhood and her wine business.
She has a wine business.
Fergie got wine?
I'm going to look up Fergie wine.
You know
right
who
now.
Else has wine? You know who else is big into the wine game?
Sam Neill of
Jurassic Park fame.
Sam Neill wine was the first thing that popped up.
Yeah. I'm totally fine with celebrities talking their alcohol at us.
Beverages.
For some reason, anything else, I'm like, all right, you know, whatever. You're trying to sell me a watch or you're trying to whatever. But booze, the more celebrities that want to sell me booze, the better. I don't know that I'll buy it, but I feel
like
it's
natural.
I was going
to say, have you ever bought a celebrity booze?
No, but I have gotten very drunk on George Clooney tequila, and it made me sick. So shout out to George Clooney for making me throw up.
Nice. This wine bottle says Fergalicious on it. I just want...
Definition.
I just want you all to know.
That's a classy wine. Fergie's wine bottle is pretty classy. Anyway, welcome to the show, everyone.
Anyway, hi, everybody. Welcome to Geek Enders. This is Brett.
Hello. I'm ADHD incarnate, so get ready for that.
He's our friendo. He also DMs our D&D game that Jesse and I are in every week.
It's true.
Happily. Happily.
Yeah. Dodger.
Yeah.
What kind of... character are you in our campaign?
I'm a good boy. I'm a big good boy that I named after a dog.
Delightful.
Would you like to tell them about your good boy?
Yeah, who's you tell us
no,
about
who's your
no,
good boy?
He's not a good boy. He's in fact a total asshole.
What good boy? Good boy where?
Which good boy are you referring to?
I think I was talking to Summer and Crown about it. The one thing I love about Logan is he's the character that when you're watching, you're just like, oh, this is it. This is his redemption that I've been waiting for. And it's like the beauty about Logan is he is not a redeemable character, but he's a character you want to redeem so bad. And I'm like, there's no redemption. And that's the beauty of that story, personally, is that some people don't need to be redeemed, you know?
I have a couple of friends that as role players will fully commit to being okay with being the bad guy.
Yeah.
And Jesse is one of them. Jesse is totally fine with playing a character where he's like, I'm not a good person.
Yeah.
And I will commit to not being a good person this whole time. Mm-hmm. Lawman mm-hmm. is another one. I have like a couple of friends where it's like, I know exactly who this character is and I will play that character to the death, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah. And that's for me personally, as long as everyone at the table is having a good time, that's the balance. That's the beauty. That's the beauty of the balance, is if you're going to play an asshole, you have to play it in such a way that doesn't ruin everyone else's time. You know what I mean? You gotta do it so that it adds narratively. You don't have to be, you don't have to be this good person.
Look on Jesse's face.
What? Jesse, what? What's that?
Nothing. I love that you're like, you know, that doesn't ruin everyone. I will actively try to push as many buttons as possible to the point where when we're done sometimes,
yeah,
Brett will message me and be like, you okay, dude?
You okay?
And I'm like, I'm fine.
I'm not.
Yeah, oh, I get it. You're doing a great job. I just think it's hilarious to me that it's like, I know I pushed all the right buttons when the DM asked to be like, you all right, bro?
Well, no, like, here, this is
I'm good.
The reason why I did that is I think we had you for like a solo session and then we switched the party. But this is just how
you've done it multiple. This is the thing. It's very good of you because you check and see if I'm okay, which
like
is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm always okay. I'm just like,
here's the thing. The last time you didn't go, all right. You didn't go, all right, well, hey, thanks, guys. See you later. All right, bye. You just peaced. You just left.
Sometimes
no bye,
I do have to poop terribly after our sessions.
Okay. Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
You know, it's nothing about you guys. It's just, you know, right. It's all about me. Yeah.
But I like it. That's where it's like, I have to check. I have to be like, hey, man, you just bounce. You cool? And you're like, all right, I have shit to do. And I'm like, all right, that's cool.
If this interests you, you should check out Deadbeats and or the other Brett Ultimus D&D coolness over at the World of Io.
Ding. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Or you could just forego all sense of responsibility and saneness and watch Goblins of Io, the stupidest thing that ever existed in the history of existence. Truly, my favorite thing I've ever done.
It was so wild. It was just such a test as my patience as a DM, which I took. I was like, if I can handle Goblins of Io, I can handle any campaign. That's what it was.
If people are like, man, I don't know, what's this old D&D thing? Like, what's going on over there? I'm gonna sell you on this. An incredible cast of people, but none of it matters because in Goblins of Io, Krendor was a goblin who only used the spell Fog the entire time so that he could get wild magic to cast. And
that's
that was it. That's it. That's all he did for a year and a half. He'd go Fog. He'd hurt all of us.
Skagzag has become the cryptid of our D&D community because it's always...
People still bring that fucking character up.
Yep.
It doesn't matter how many times Brett's like, they're dead. All the characters from before are dead. They're all dead. They're all dead.
I've accepted it. I can never inform everyone, and I will sound like a mad person if I try. So I've just accepted it. I have made my officials, because it was Skagzag has become folklore in IO Phase 3 practically, and I love that. I think that's awesome.
That's my selling point. Tune in, kids. There you go. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. This might be, I know 2024, I've already told my audience, but 2024 I'm finally going to start slowing down on D&D sessions because I'm getting older and, it's a lot of work. And now that I've got my publishing house, I'm like, I need to slow this down. I need to not run.
Right. So many games what if instead you do a series of one-shots called The Fog Chronicles, where you bring Krendor back and have Skagzag go on misadventures, and we all have to be different characters he interacts with, but it's just a Skagzag-based adventure series.
I love that. I would do a one-off of that. Absolutely. I would absolutely do a one-off of that. Yeah, maybe. Maybe a two-off. It depends on how my psyche is afterwards. If afterwards I'm like, I can't keep... I'm gonna be real. Mm-hmm. If we were gonna do a Goblins of IO 2, I don't know if I'd have the strength at this point.
I do feel like you saying that you'd like to, you know, go in the direction of focusing on the publishing and stuff. I do feel like making interesting systems and trying interesting like systems and things like that. That seems to be something that you really enjoy.
I love it.
So I feel
it's
like
detrimental,
that,
but I love it. Yeah.
I feel like that makes sense as a direction for you to go in, to be like, I'm gonna just come up with like fun, cool systems, publish them into neat books and help other people have fun.
that honestly makes sense
as a direction for you for sure.
I love that. We just released our digital PDF for our fishing. Oh, I slay dragons so you can be fishing on iopublishing.com. And I loved the sample sessions we did with that, because I was like, holy shit, you can absolutely have fun at the table and not do the D&D default combat save the world. You can just be fishing with pals. And I love that.
The fishing sessions are really fun. They're just nothing happens.
Everyone, and just that's goofy. It's become one of my best performing campaign, and I love that. I'm just so thrilled with that I could be like, yeah, we're fishing today, and everyone's like, oh my god, fishing, that's back, and I'm just like, yes, that's what I want. I just want to take that. Yeah,
have we mentioned we're talking D&D? Have we?
Yeah, we're talking
even,
D&D.
Did
sorry.
We just jump into this? Did we just
also I changed the topic to D&D really early on?
Yes. Oh, okay, I was, you know, I didn't see that, so I'm over here just like, have we explained any of this, or are we just so excited to talk that
playing,
we just
we're talking
in?
About Dungeons and Dragons
always.
Yeah,
for those of you who don't play Dungeons and Dragons, sometimes people will come up with complimentary sort of books and content, stories, things like that, that you can utilize with your D&D game. And so Brett ran a very successful, it was on Kickstarter, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And a very successful Kickstarter for a book called Why Slay Dragons When You Could Be Fishing, as sort of a tester for a series of books you'd like to do, correct?
I would love to, yeah, because I would like to do a Why Slay Dragons When You Could Be Farming, When You Could Be Cooking, When You Could Be Blacksmithing, When You Could Be Hunting. And I was actually thinking about this the other day. One of these days in the future, I would actually love to make a system, like an actual TTRPG system, just aptly made Why Slay Dragons. And the pitch is, what if you took Animal Crossing and just made that a D&D game?
Basically just a slice of life system.
Slice of life system. Yeah. Absolutely. I just, it's, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Hey, chatters and people watching, if you're like, man, D&D, that sounds like it'd be fun, but I don't know where to begin. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. If you don't have anyone around you locally to play, or you're a little worried about jumping in, honestly, the video game world gave us baby's first D&D. Just go play Baldur's Gate 3.
Go play Baldur's
jump
Gate
in.
3.
You don't need to understand it right away. Take your time. Mess around with it. You know, just enjoy what it is. And then when you're more comfortable with understanding the, like, oh, I kind of get what that is, or where that's from, or how this would work, then you can do that, and it'll be a way for you to get into the world. It's so simple now.
I would add that most of the chatters are probably part of a Discord community, probably part of Dodger's or Jesse's or mine Discord community, and probably within that community there are like-minded individuals that also would like to get into D&D. So it just takes one person to be like, hey, I want to run a game. And you would be amazed the people that'll just flock in just to be like, I want to be a part. That's quite literally how I got my D&D career started. Well, I got my D&D career started because Stripid messaged me like, hey, I want to play a D&D game. Can you run a game? And I'm like, yeah, I could do that. Sure. And now look where we are. He's changed my life. When we did that, we had about 11 people from our friend group, Dodger, that were like, hey, yeah, I'd be down for that. Yeah, I'd play that. To the point where I actually had to run two groups offline for people because there were so many people that wanted to play. So just poke around, be like, hey, I kind of want to give this D&D. Who around wants to try D&D? Make some friends. I think tabletop role playing is the best way to, like, is just the coolest way to make friends, personally, and make lifelong connections.
And you do not, let me stress this,
yes,
need to be serious. No. Need to be like Critical Role where you're like, I'm charactering. You don't do anything.
Nope.
The very first time I ever played D&D, like played, mm-hmm, was with Dodger in 2012 at GemuCon.
Mm-hmm.
And our first characters, the two characters we made, Dodger's character was a wizard or sorcerer, I can't remember which, that could only self-immolate. And so she'd run up and hug people and set herself on fire. That's how awesome. She killed them.
Yep.
And that's my awesome. Character was a hobgoblin shaman who collected the testicles of his victims to summon them back as ghosts so that he could get advice. Except they hated him, so they never gave him good advice because I stole their testicles. So, like, that is our characters.
Yep.
And one of the things that happened, Dodger set herself on fire and couldn't roll to put herself out, so we peed on her. That happened in the campaign. It exists.
It's classic first D&D game sort of shit.
That sounds such first D&D. That sounds so typical for a first D&D, mm-hmm, and I love that. And
that's what happened.
Jesse's absolutely right. Especially if you're watching like these really serious shows like Critical Role and things like that, you don't have to be Shakespearean actors. You can just fuck around and you just discover how you like it. And if you got the right DM or GM, they're gonna let you fuck around because they want you to. They should, the DM GM's role should be that everyone at the table is having fun. Like Jesse said, if something feels off, I always like to inquire to make sure, hey, we comfy, we cool, everything's good. And you want to find a DM GM that'll do that for you. So you can feel comfortable and fuck around and have a self-immolating character and a hobgoblin that steals testicles. Go for it.
I was saying this morning, Sam and I went and got lunch on Valentine's, and he was, you know, in a very Sam way. Sam's version of saying, like, you've been talking about DMing. When are you going to run a game? You should run a game. Sam's version is, hey, when are you going to sack up and run a D&D game again?
Yep, that sounds about right.
And I've been, I am honor bound to do a Peppa Pig one shot. That's been that I've been putting together. Jesse agreed to be in it once upon a dream. Are. So I've been slowly.
Do we have to do accents? I mean, should I do an accent? Can I do an accent?
I was going to say, I would like to reference back to what we were just talking about. Would it be fun for you to do an accent, Jesse?
It would be fun for me to do an accent.
Yes, absolutely. I will be doing terrible Peppa Pig child accents. So
Jesse, I love how you put that as in like your hands were tied. You're like, I have to do the accent, guys. I have to.
I must.
Oh, my webcam disconnected. I'm so sorry. I'm rebooting.
Wow.
I'm rebooting. Wow. Okay. I don't know what my NVIDIA took over. Oh, yeah.
I guess. He doesn't like my accent.
I had to leave.
He was like, I can't be involved. Can't do it.
How do I turn my webcam back
how
on?
How do you do the thing?
How do I do that?
Okay,
I'm back.
Done it.
I think I was shaking my table and it just unplugged the camera for a second, so I'll settle down.
Sure, yeah, no, right. You just didn't want to be associated with that amazing accent.
Yeah, I don't want that. I don't want to see
it. Thank God he didn't break up my Australian. You would have been like,
I'm just reaching over to the camera. Oh, no!
Crikey! Put another shrimp on the booby. See, I am very good at acting.
I can tell.
So sorry.
You know what would really help you with that accent?
Yeah. Mm.
Watching Bluey.
Watching what?
Bluey. I'm trying to get Jesse to watch Bluey.
He don't even know Bluey either.
Bluey. Oh, here we are.
I'm such a parent that I gasped at the idea of not knowing what Bluey is.
Why are you getting your friends to watch these children's shows?
No, Brett. No. Bluey.
Okay. Thanks.
This
for
show.
Me on the side, bud.
This show, dude, is so good.
Change the topic. It's Bluey time.
Yes. Okay, got it. Yep, here we go. Topic. Bluey.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's all Bluey.
Okay.
And Jesse and I just look just off in the distance, and Dodger goes on a 30-minute rant about
no,
Bluey.
No. I will keep it succinct because I don't. I would really love for you guys to watch Bluey sometime, but you don't have to. I'm not going to make you. However, I would like to establish that most people that watch Bluey wind up having sort of a reaction to it of like, yeah, it's a kid's show, but it feels almost like it's more like it's trying to say something to the adults that are watching.
Interesting.
The way that it characterizes everybody is really good, but yes.
Do you mean like it's trying to give advice to adults? Or it's like My Little Pony, where people assume that it's for adults, but really it's still for kids.
Mm.
Okay.
It's kind of like utilizing the avenue of a story that has a message for kids. At the end of the day, adults used to be kids, and sometimes the moral for the kids also has a really good message for the adults that are watching, you know? I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's just a great show. And a lot of times adults will watch it and be like,
it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
It gives you warmth in a very cold world.
Yeah. It's just a really good show.
I like that.
Okay. So
I like that.
It'll improve your Australian accent, maybe. I don't know. Not that it needs to be improved. It's perfect. But if you wanted to work on it.
Please. All right. First off, how many people in this chat have actually been to Australia? Not once, not twice, but thrice. Me. So I think I know a little bit better than anyone else.
Can you say Barbie again? Will you say Barbie just one more time?
Barbie.
That's it.
That's so bad. That's so bad, Jesse. That is so bad. Geez. That is 100% bad.
My Barbie.
I have no idea what you're trying to do, but it's not Australian. That is so bad, dude.
I'm pretty sure that's Australian. I'm pretty sure.
My British accent being hello. Like, that's, it's bad. It's bad.
My British accent hello, is still kind of like that.
Yeah. Hello. My favorite thing I like to ask my British friends is, what is an American accent to you? And I either get the, like, you know, I'm over down on the farm taking care of my cows, or I get like the really like heavy, like detailed, like, hello, I am an American. Hello. And I just,
those are my favorite ones. Boston. Like, hello there.
They also love doing Boston accents or trying to
American
do American
male.
I love
and
that.
I'm here
it's
to
me,
talk to you about
an American
guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't you dare touch my guns.
I like guns and biscuits.
And hamburgers. I love
hamburgers.
Cheeseburgers.
Are my favorite.
They say,
I can do bad accents in any language.
Supposedly, the reason that when we do English accents, we immediately go for, hello, it's hello, me, an English person, right? And why a lot of times English people will go for like Texas is because our accents actually are similar enough that the things that we really hone in on are the things that are drastically different. And so we like make those sounds more extreme. And I didn't always believe that until I had a little kid that has a split down the middle accent, because
curious about that.
In England, everybody thinks she sounds like an American.
Mm-hmm.
In America, everybody thinks she sounds English.
Oh no.
And it's because everybody's hyper-focusing on those specific things about her accent that sound American or English, right?
That's going to be rough.
But she does both at the same time. So everybody's like, oh my goodness, her accent is so cute. Her little American accent. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Ah, that's so rough.
She says mate.
Oh, man.
She calls people mate,
like,
dude.
She's like a daywalker for accents.
Yeah.
She's Blade.
Yeah. Yeah,
but with accents.
Except she's not blending in. She just has the other.
She didn't blend in. He was neither man nor vampire, dude.
That's
just a fact.
We don't need to go into the like accent classism or anything. But like, there are so many accents around here, just in the United Kingdom in general, And people get judged so heavily depending on which accent they have that I have met.
I mean, that's in the States too.
I was gonna say, exactly. That's absolutely in the States.
100%. I would argue that there are more accents here. Like you drive like half an hour in one direction. You're like, oh, they talk different here. Right. but yes, the accent classism absolutely exists in America as well. But something that I've noticed here is that English people are really, really good at being like, here's how I actually talk. And here's my flat London accent. Here's my accent that no one can make fun of. I dare you. I dare you to make fun of me. I don't sound weird at all. Like,
wow.
So many people have like two accents. They like code switch, sort of, if that's the right phrase. So I feel like Clark will probably wind up doing that, right? If
probably.
It gets pointed out to her enough, like, oh, you say vowels weird, she'll probably wind
can't
up,
wait
you know,
for the
both
for like middle school. I don't know how the schooling system is there, but I mean, I can't wait for that like middle school, high school year where you know where children just become really, some children just become just really rotten as
no,
they're
that's
trying
Clark.
To discover
no,
themselves.
She's the bad, she's the mean girl. It's already happening. I refuse to accept otherwise. Clark's friends are named like Mipsy and Bobsy, and they're all gonna be like walking down the hall to cool music.
Jesse's favorite hobby is concocting
stories for Clark.
Stories about my kid. Yeah, he loves it.
Like, it's the only
I've
way
stopped
I can manage
denying
children.
Them.
No, I understand why, because Jesse, even though he won't admit it, just doesn't want. If Clarky is going to be bullied or be the bully, I'd rather
be like, Clark be the bully.
So that she's not getting hurt. I get it. I mean, it's fucked up, but I get it.
It's because I care.
It's because you want her to be a redeemable character, just like people watching Jesse want Jesse's characters to be redeemable.
There it is, to be redeemable.
Right, but Clark's
full circle.
Not redeemable,
we did it.
Not redeemable. No, speaking of accents, again, this is an apocryphal tale, but I was once told by a friend who spent a lot of time in China that, come at me if I'm wrong, but I was told that when learning English in China, they're given the option to either choose American accent or British accent.
Hmm.
And they like just decide which one they want to, and it might, and I don't know why, I don't know in what way they pick, I don't know, but like, that's why you'll meet some people that have like, this is my accent, and then you have some people that's like, yo, what up, and I don't know why you would choose one over the other. I think British you would probably choose because it sounds more, you know, like, I'm smart.
Put together.
there has to be more than just the accent, because even when you're selecting, like, YouTube videos, like, what language it's in, there's, like, 10 different English options. So, I mean, like, there's got to be some sort of nuance with it that, like,
people in chat
I
are confirming
don't understand.
That that also exists in Europe.
Interesting.
I mean, I guess it would be fun to kind of learn to ingratiate yourself, because I would imagine if I was going to learn Mandarin, for example, there would be a lot of different accents on it. If I was going to learn French, I don't think everyone just sounds French, you know, like there's probably different regions that have
different dialects.
Are you learning French to hang out in Canada or in France or
exactly,
right? And it's going to be different depending on,
or Spanish, right? Like
you,
Mexican,
like,
Spanish,
where are you planning on
Spanish,
using this?
Spanish.
What media are you intending
Creole,
to?
Creole, right? Isn't Creole also like a type of French?
It's totally.
Yeah, it's like a crazy mix of stuff. Yeah. There's,
I remember when I was taking French in high school, there was, you know, we there was one part where we were starting to learn, like, you know, different, like, French, but in, like, different countries, you know, and how the sentence structure and things like that are put together. I barely remember any French, of course, because it was a high school class, but... You know, it's just, from my understanding, English is just this clumsy ass language that we all just we all use. But it's not like certain languages handle conversation more succinctly and better than English does. English is just a very clumsy language, from my understanding.
Well, I just want to say for the record,
yeah,
in chat, someone said, I learned American pronunciation by watching The Wire. And my favorite part about that is I just imagine them always saying, she. She. That's all I can imagine. That's the only way you know how to say shit.
She. I love how this topic stemmed from Bluey.
I was literally about to be like, it says we're still talking about Bluey.
You know what? It stemmed from Bluey. Yeah, Bluey educated us. You know what? Dukes has a point.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
yes.
No, please go. I keep interrupting you, and I feel bad because I'm just wired this morning.
Jesse feels bad. Wow.
I was going to say, I remember so vividly in high school when we had an exchange student and I became good friends with her. And at one point she was like, well, you know, English was the fourth language I learned. So, and I was like, huh?
My brain can't comprehend learning a second language. I don't know how that works.
Why does America not care if we know more than English?
Because we're number one, baby!
We're number one!
We're number one! We don't have to! We don't have to, baby! Because
we're the best!
God! You learn our language!
Yeah, my language is guns! Dude. Burgers!
But it's
freedom!
Like, it is, I feel like, growing up and then meeting a bunch of people from other countries that are like, well, yeah, of course we learn two or three languages in school.
Yeah. Because we're selfish. I mean, that's we joke, but that's the truth.
Like, but what the hell is wrong with us?
Do not let that get to you, though. Yes, yeah. Most times when I go overseas, I meet people, they know multiple languages. Shout out to everyone from anywhere else in the world who speaks English. You're my hero.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Every time I really ask, when they say they know four languages, it isn't like they're fluent in four languages.
Sure. They unless they want to pursue that.
In four languages.
Yeah,
so don't.
They can have a conversation in four languages.
I can't get by with four languages.
Me neither.
That's still very impressive.
Still impressive.
But like, don't put the bar too high. Right?
Okay.
You can still go out there and learn four languages. We're not saying that, like, just because you're an American, you're an idiot. I'm saying that the world isn't filled with super geniuses who are like fluent in everything.
I'm not saying you're an idiot. I'm just saying you're ignorant as fuck.
An American idiot. The song is Old as Sin. Hi, everyone.
Yeah.
You want to be an American idiot.
Well, it's the same reason why if someone gives a temperature in Celsius, everyone in the world's like, yeah. And I'm like, can I get the other number, please?
No, that's not your fault.
Yeah, it was
Celsius. You were raised with the F, not with the C, and that's not your fault. I'm having to immersively learn the C, dude.
Yeah, but everyone in the world is C, and we're the only one that's like, nah, man, F, and we only know English. You all.
It sounds like we're trying not to swear.
Hey, you all, learn my language. Fuck off.
Dude, Fahrenheit. It's all about the F's and the C's, you know what I'm saying? You got an F, and then you got the C.
And you got
and
the
C. Sometimes you want to learn about the C, but first you got an F, you know what I'm saying?
Like,
it sounds like we're.
So it sounds like bad stand-up comedy in like an LA comedy club. It's like sometimes you F and sometimes you C. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? You got to have the C if you want to F, though, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Also, we work in feet. I don't know what this kilometer bullshit is. You're all doing that? Well, get on our level. This is how we have our rulers.
It's easier. Kilometer's just easier.
Yes.
It just is. But nothing here is that, so... feet it is.
Our lovely friend Umatani in chat, hi buddy,
just
said, I recently read someone said F Fahrenheit is how humans feel temperature and Celsius is how water feels temperature, which is an interesting
that
way
feels
to think
smart
about.
Isn't Celsius it's boiling point, right? I'm also a very dumb person, so if I say something ignorant I do apologize, but I mean Celsius doesn't like how like
zero
freezing?
Is freezing.
Yes, that's what it is. Zero is freezing.
For Fahrenheit, for anybody who doesn't use Fahrenheit, 32 is freezing.
Is freezing, Fahrenheit. Yeah.
But
and that's all I got.
30 degrees Celsius is like, whew, it's hot. But 80 to 100 degrees Fahrenheit is, whew, it's hot.
Ooh, it's hot,
so
yeah.
So 80 to 100 degrees actually sounds hot, whereas 30 doesn't.
This is fine. I use Kelvin.
Sure.
Okay.
I use Kelvin because I need to know what absolute zero is. And,
totally. This how is Fahrenheit. How's this is Linux Jesse's running game on at
a,
your machine?
A bar, by the way.
I use only the Penguin. Mm. Okay.
Linux only over here.
Linux only, and I use Kelvin. Okay.
What are you using? Apple?
Shout out to everybody who uses Kelvin and Linux. You're just smarter than us, and that's why we're making fun.
We're just bitter, is what we are. We're just bitter, angry souls. You are doing better. Trust me.
I need a GUI to function. I don't know what the hell you all are doing.
I need the big buttons. I need the words that say this is what this does. Okay. I don't know.
Why do I have to learn it when I could just Google it? I just, so much
I do know that water boils at 373 Kelvin, so that's pretty cool. I know that.
I know nothing about Kelvin, so.
I honestly don't either. I just know a basic fact that there's absolute zero, and there's water boils at 373. That's all I know. I could not tell you anything else. I do not know. No. There you go. Hey, can I really quickly just shout out a little? So. Once again, one of my favorite things in the world is when like a company approaches me and they're like, hey, would you play this game if we pay you money? And I already bought the game and it's sitting on my desktop and I definitely was going to play it. Anyway, that happens with a frequency now that it's so good. Anyway. Yeah.
I wish. Honestly, on that topic, I hesitate to play games that I genuinely enjoyed that I was sponsored for because I really want like a second sponsorship. And I have this fear that if I play that game, they go, well, we don't have to give him any more money. He's playing for free. You know,
it does happen. Oh, it definitely
it happens.
Happens
so much. Yeah.
But when it happens to my benefit, I not only feel great about it, but I'm even more inspired to play more and shamelessly plug. And so I'm going to do that right now.
Okay.
Hey, everyone. Banishers: Ghost of New Eden is
good. Oh my god, it's
go
so
play
good.
That game.
What
it's
is
so good.
Are we talking about that game? Let's talk about that game.
We should talk about that game. It is great.
Dude, the characters are awesome. The voice acting and writing is great. If you played Vampyr and you were like, the combat's kind of whatever, the combat has been improved a lot. There's like detective mystery elements to it that I wasn't expecting. It's so cool. It's such a good game.
All right. No spoilers. I'm not going to, don't even look up a trailer for it. Just play it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I fully
agree.
The
premise is that you play as, Atena Duarte.
Antea. Yeah.
Antea, thank you. Mm-hmm. And her sweet love, Red, who are banishers. And their whole vibe is that they go around sending ghosts back to wherever ghosts come from.
Helping ghosts move on in one way or another.
Sometimes forcefully. Yep. And the whole vibe is that they are from, you know, the old world. And now they've arrived in the Americas to help a friend who's a priest, a preacher in New Eden. And there's something happening in the city. And you arrive in order to help him deal with the issue. Mm-hmm. And it is a game that is scary, action-packed, has mystery elements. You solve ghost crimes, basically. The acting is great. The story is great. Visually, it's great. Total surprise. I was like, all right, I'll play this because it looks good. The more I played, the more I was like, this is so good.
I had a really hard time. I assume because of how you brought this up that you were sponsored to play it. I was also sponsored to play it. And I had a really hard time being like, okay, it's time. I'm done now. It's just like, wait, but what's going to happen next? It's really good.
That's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to do a hard stop. Thankfully, there's a pretty good stopping point about 2-3 hours in. So I was like, okay, thank God. Because first off, like all streams, I had to pee so badly. But more importantly, things happen in this game that was unexpected. And then I remember from the trailer, I was like, oh, yeah, no, that's what this game is. So that's why I say don't watch the trailer. Because the trailer gives away the game.
Yes, and I went into it blind, and I'm really glad that I did. So
yeah, very
would
cool
recommend.
Stuff.
It's the new Don't Nod game. Atmosphere. I don't know if we said that yet. So
it is.
You know,
Focus Entertainment and Don't Nod. Yeah,
you know that there's going to be lots of choices.
Emotions. Oh,
choices and emotions in the game.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I have to pick my games very carefully because my time's pretty limited. So right now, right now I'm just trying to get through Persona 3.
That's also very good.
Yeah. It's great. The problem with me is when I played it the first time, I got just to the end and then for some reason didn't finish it. And then years passed, as it does when you leave a game on a shelf for too long, and you kind of get to that point where you're just like, I have to play this game, but this is a long ass game. So when Reloaded got announced, I was like, finally, I can play this game because of the remake, you know?
Mm.
Otherwise, my memory just skips that.
I don't know if this is a spicy take.
Mm. Yes.
I don't know. But Persona 3 makes me sing Persona 3 again and like getting back in that, it makes me appreciate Persona before every game had a mascot. Does that make any sense?
What was the mascot? What do you mean by mascot? You mean, are you talking about like the summon or
Persona
like,
4
what do you mean?
Is Teddy, Persona 5 is Morgan. Right. Is that the name?
That's fair.
So like they all have mascots and Persona 3 just doesn't. And I don't know, something about it,
hot take. Because I'm also in the, you know, that late 30s approaching early 40s is I miss Persona before it turned into this sort of high spirit preppy. We're going to high school. We're popping vibe because Persona 1 and 2 were very dark.
You miss
dark
the guns
days.
That would activate your Persona. You miss
that's the weirdest thing, right? Persona 3 has the gun to the head. That's like, holy shit. I was like, what are we doing here?
It's dark.
And then we're just vibing to this like poppy battle theme. And I'm like, what's going? And yeah, but Persona 1 and 2 were more like the Shin Megami series. So it was very, like Persona 2, at the end of Persona 2, spoiler alert, they changed it in the re-release, mm-hmm. but in the Japanese version of Persona 2, Innocent Sin, I think, you fight Hitler with sunglasses. You fight him. He has a persona and everything. He's
fuck?
Like one
I've
of
never
the final
it.
Fights. Is...
I never, if you had stopped right there and said, Dodger, guess how this game ends? I wouldn't have guessed. I wouldn't
he
have
appears.
Gotten it.
He's like, hey, what's up? It's me, Hitler. And then you go into an RPG turn fight against Hitler in Persona 2.
Well, Persona in general has always been like, even Persona 5, which is like, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-da-da. Mm. Right? The music's amazing. You still fight a giant dick monster as the first boss. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like
that giant dick monster has, oh, wait, you're... Sorry, Jesse. There's multiple giant dick monsters in the
That's
Persona
true.
In the Shin Megami series. I apologize. Yeah. I got that mixed up. Yes, you do fight a giant dick monster as the first boss. It was like, someone knows what it is. It's like a giant green dick monster on a wheelchair. That's
Tread
been around
chat.
Since the... Yeah, that's been around since the 90s. Mara, yeah. Since Shin Megami 1, Mara has been a thing. And you're just like, yeah, I'm just a giant dick on a wheelchair. And you're like, Nintendo, but, we cool with this? Okay, I guess we're cool with this.
That's what makes Persona so much fun. And I'm not saying 4 and 5 are bad. I happen to like Teddy. I might be one of the 3 people in the world who do. But, like, it's just a different vibe. Entirely different vibe. Going from 3 to 4 to 5, 3, like we were talking about, that's like, all right, it's time to get my Persona blast.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And then 4 and 5 are just like... high school, but it's super dark, but the music's fun. You know what 4 and 5 are? Ska music.
Okay.
Ska music is always the most depressing, worst lyrics, but like, and it's like, life is misery, everything's sad, I'm going to get really drunk.
Persona 3's world theme, it, like, the lyrics is like, I've never been so miserable. And I'm like, that's it, like, in the world map theme, you're like, never been so miserable. And you're I'm like, you okay? you okay, Persona 3 soundtrack?
Yeah, it's just, like, Persona 3 is very, very, this is obvious. 4 and 5 are just like, everything is happy except for life, which is killing you.
Yeah. And I'm like, true.
Yeah, they're all just,
that sort of suits the vibe of the stories of those games, though.
Yes, yeah.
Where everyone's just getting real.
It's like, this person seems totally normal. I wonder what's going on inside.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, they're a mess.
Hey, you got a giant dick monster.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, you got to do something about this.
Yeah.
I will say the baseline of what Persona games are, which is even the most put together people have shit going on in their life.
Yes.
is a very good message to have in a game.
Great message. And wonderful. I love that they message. Do that.
Yeah.
Yes. Everyone's got their own shit that mm-hmm. they're dealing with on a constant basis. No mm-hmm. one's life is perfect. I love that. I love yeah. that. I love make normalizing that. So I love Persona 5. I'm going to get through Persona 3 because I got 13 days until Final Fantasy 7. And that's it. We're gone. We're going to be gone. I can't wait to break down and cry. I can't wait.
I have a legitimate text document on my desktop.
Yep.
That is literally every day and what I need to get done before the 29th.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
yep.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to disappear.
I played the Final Fantasy VII Remake again just so I can get caught up again. And same thing. It made me so sad, and I was like, oh, I can't wait for Rebirth to fuck me up. Oh, I can't wait. Oh, it's going to be so good.
What sucks is that because I didn't want to spend a lot of time doing it, I played through Remake again on easy.
Okay.
And just plowed through it just so I could like get the story again. Mm-hmm. And I realized I should just play games on easy, bro. Like yeah. I was like, enemies would be two shot, and part of me would be like, oh, this is too easy. But then part of me is like, dude,
you already did this.
This is what I want from this game.
Easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I was like,
I just want to get through it again. Now I get that. There was nothing wrong with playing a game on easy mode because you're like, I don't tell that to the internet.
Now
listen, I'm playing Persona 3 on hard. Now because I wanted to. I was like, yeah, you know, Persona, you know, because I'm that old school RPG gamer where I'm like, yeah, I want you to just really I want to be on the brink of death every, but that's what I want, you know, that's the experience that I want. Some folks don't want to deal with all those mechanics and stuff and want to go into a story and not waste their time banging their head against a boss for hours on end. So mm-hmm. I get it. Play at the difficulty you want to play it at. There's no shame, nothing wrong with it. You're not try hard if you're playing on hard, and you're not, you know, you're not a gamer if you're playing it on easy.
Or I have a hot
not
take.
Not a gamer.
I have a hot take. It's okay to be a try hard. It's okay to try hard at something that you're enjoying.
Yes.
That's all right. Don't let people call you a try hard to make you feel bad.
Yes.
What's wrong with trying hard? You're having a good time.
I apologize. You're right. Try hard has had this negative connotation against it. But you know what I'm saying is like,
I know what you mean. I just wanted to throw it in there.
Yeah, that is a fair take. That is an absolutely fair take. You know, always try. When we're growing up, it's just like, just try. Just try as hard as you can, and as long as you try.
Can we still call people sweaty? Absolutely. I'm sweaty every day.
I'm sweating right now.
Yeah. I'm literally sweating right now.
Rob is sweating right now. Yeah.
I'll never forget years ago, I was doing a stream, and some guy came in and was like, look at this try hard trying to be funny. And I was like, yeah, that's my job, bro.
I am trying to be funny. Thank you for noticing.
Very hard. What do you
get
mean?
It. You
yes,
get it.
I'm working.
Thank you so much. I said I'm sweating. Meanwhile, I'm wrapped up in my little green blanket, just getting all nice and comfy and cozy.
Mm-hmm.
It could be 80, 90 degrees. I don't care. I gotta have a blanket. I gotta have a little blanket that I get to wrap myself around.
Yeah, this is my little banky.
Oh, but that's
you never
not,
know you're gonna need it.
You never. I'm always using a blanket, and that's the thing. That's my peak comfort is blanket. And if it's pants.
Yep.
I have to have pants on. I'm at the office, and there are people here. But no, I don't have anything.
Ever
I do have two
the
buttons.
Complaint. No, I'm kidding.
This week I was sent two buttons and I don't know why. No one told me. I have no answers. I have. Right, okay. I have that, but
don't
I also
need an
have.
Answer. You know what? You used that earlier and I was going to say, I really miss the nut buttons. Those are old as shit and they're so funny.
Literally got sent a nut button.
Nut.
Was it from a brand
it.
Or
I should
or...
get a nut button. I miss those.
I don't know. I got it in the mail and it said it was nut button, not from anyone. There was no one involved. Like, it didn't say it was sent by anyone. I just now have.
I would open that up, make sure there isn't like a spy device inside or something.
If there's a spy device, they've, you know what? They did it. They got me.
Ooh, nut button.
Yeah, they got.
I would love it if, like, the FBI sent, you know, people of interest nut buttons that just would know, like, oh, that's kind of neat. I don't know what happened.
They'll keep
it. Put it on my desk.
We know they'll keep it.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't Holy have any shit. Blankets. I wish I did. Actually, that's a lie. We do have multiple blankets here in the office. I'm just lazy.
That's I keep a blanket by my couch in the living room, and I keep a blanket here in the office, and I've always got it on. And if it's too hot, I don't take up the blanket. I just lower the AC. I'm the problem.
Killing the earth as we speak, Brett.
This is my peak comfort. Okay, it's like, okay, I want a nice little comfy blanket wrapped around me, but I don't want to be hot. So I gotta make sure I have a fan blowing on me right now to like regulate the temperature. So it's a there's a method to my madness. There is a method to my madness. I want to feel like something's hugging me at all time, but I don't want to be too hot.
This is like when someone turns the air conditioning on but opens the window because it's like too cold.
Too cold, yeah.
So you got to open the window so it regulates, and it's like, what are you doing?
There's a difference between AC air and fresh air, dude.
There is. Are you admitting, Dukes, that you do that? You don't do that.
We don't have a working heater or AC.
I was about to say, they don't have any of that.
How do you live?
We have a fireplace, and we use it a lot.
What happens during the summer when the heat wave inevitably comes?
They sweat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Brett, they don't have AC in England. If you want to experience the wonders of AC, you go to a grocery store. That is your only option. Everywhere else is a sweaty butthole, and that's...
I get it.
That's
I get it.
Brett, let me tell you...
Yeah.
Let me tell you a story.
Please. Let me just get cozy up right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Years ago, when our dear, sweet Dodger got married.
Mm-hmm. I knew this is what you were going to tell! Sorry, keep going.
I went to the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And went to a lovely, truly lovely wedding. Mm-hmm. Where for a full day, not like a few hours, not like, you know, American weddings where it's like you're in, you're out, you're going. No. This was a full day. of watching elves marry hobbits and in the forest and lots of booze and fatty meat.
Hell
all
yeah.
day.
That sounds awesome.
It was fun. Yeah, it was good.
That sounds really awesome.
I was drunk enough that I kept trying to sell people on the idea of cleavage for men, which was your balls.
Mm-hmm,
right? Anyway, ignore that. Yeah.
Ignore that.
Shout out to Giant Bomb for the raid. Thanks, guys. You came at the right time. So
I got my cleavage out, right?
So anyway, so my nut cleavage.
But anyway, so
sweating like a mother.
It was, you know, we're drunk, we're filled with fatty meats.
Yeah.
And when the night ends, this is the middle of summer.
Mm-hmm.
So we go back to the place that we were staying for this wedding, which was above a pub. My room had one little baby window, no fan, no AC, no nothing.
Nah.
It was so hot in that room, and I was so filled with booze and meat sweats that I laid there on my bed, naked as hell on top of the sheets, covered in water. And in that moment, I was like, I'd be
taking
fine being dead.
Cold,
just take me.
Take just cold take me. Showers every hour to try and just regulate your internal temperature.
I would rather die than live in this moment.
When you're living big boy summer every year of your freaking life, you can't imagine a place without any sort of regulate. You're like, I'm a musky 92, you know, 98 degrees always. I need just a little bit
it
of cool air.
Dude, you would have welcomed death.
Here's what's you know, the issue that we're in right now in this country is that, sure, maybe a few years ago you could argue, well, it's not like the summers are that bad anyway. Most of the
year
it rains and it's
cold. That's what people in Seattle say. That's what people say in Seattle say, yeah.
And every year for over like 6 years now, the summer has been unbearable. And the houses here are built to keep in heat. So we have houses that are built to keep in heat, no AC in any of them. And people are not doing okay in the summer.
How?
And so we're in this like transition period where like people can't afford to just install AC in their houses.
Right.
So everybody's like frantically buying little AC units, you know, and we're in this weird period, this in between period of like accepting that we have shitty summers.
Yep.
You know,
that's the same thing in Washington, like the Washington state, where, you know, whenever I'd go to PAX and we'd stay at like an Airbnb and there's no AC, I'm like, there's no AC. And
yeah,
people native to Seattle and Washington are like, yeah, I mean, we get like a couple of hot days, but that's it. That was 2019, last time I was to a PAX. And then 2020 happened and it was like a heat wave just struck Washington that year. And everyone's like, we got to find a hotel or my pet's going to die from heat stroke. And I'm like, this is why I can't do, like, oh yeah, but like the climate here, you don't need AC. I'm like, you don't need AC now, but you're going to need an AC somewhere. So I would feel bad, because if I moved to a state or a country that doesn't have AC, I would be the dumb American that's like, yeah, I need an AC installed in this house pronto. And they're like, look at this motherfucker trying pain to get an AC. Yeah,
yeah.
This hoity-toity son of a bitch just needs an AC in his home. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I live in Florida. If I don't have an AC in a hurricane-proof house, I think that house is weak sauce. And that was all the houses in California that I was at when I lived in Burbank. The houses felt like they were made of paper mache because of earthquakes. It was built for earthquakes, not hurricanes.
Yep.
And yeah, so it's really interesting how things are built all around the world just to deal with that life stuff. So
yeah. Well, yeah. When I was in LA for 10 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. Every time it rained and the streets would get flooded, it flabbergasted me, because I had grown up Oregon with really good drainage, right? Because it rains all the time, so there's drainage everywhere.
Not
in
LA.
There's no drainage in LA. So if it rains, suddenly you're like, all right, which roads are going to be a nightmare? Mm-hmm. Which areas are going to get blocked off?
You don't leave the house when it's raining in California, because everyone freaks the hell out. They're like, the roads are so wet. I'm like, it's fine. Just don't worry about it. I did love it when it rained in California, because for like, or in Southern California, excuse me, not all of California is like this, because for like a few days, the smog clears because of the rain. And you're like, this is a beautiful state. This is so gorgeous. And then the smog creeps back in. You're like, all right, I'm breathing toxic again.
I will say,
yes,
during the height of COVID, when LA was on like full lockdown.
Oh, okay.
You could go out. I went to some sort of like outdoor, you know, they were doing a lot of outdoor stuff.
Yeah.
I went to this outdoor thing at the Getty Museum. And if you've ever been to the Getty, there's a balcony that looks out over all of LA. It was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
There was not a cloud. It was, everything was perfectly blue. The water looked gorgeous. The city. And I was like, wow, this is
nature's
healing.
It's
like nature's healing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then cut to 2022. It's all back to normal. Okay. I was like, cool.
Wow,
cool.
We're really fucking up this place. Oh, okay.
It makes you realize it. Yeah.
It's really frustrating, isn't it? Because there's part of you that's like, it's nice to know that if, you know, humans just stop doing their shit, that things start to fix themselves really quickly.
Yeah, we but are also, the problem.
Yeah, but also, how obnoxious is it how quickly we can then ruin it all again?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's...
If you are like, okay, guys, if we just stop, if all of us just don't drive our cars for like 3 days, just 3 days... We're going to do so much. We're going to do so much good over here. It's going to be a beautiful week, blah, blah, blah. And people are like, they're like, nah, I can't do that. I need my car. I need my car.
That's capitalism's fault, though. That's not our fault.
Absolutely. Oh, okay. All right.
It's true. Cars,
I mean, no, I agree. Yeah. But we are an active participant. Like, we're just literally like, yeah, I mean, people like their conveniences is what I'm saying. Sure. Yeah.
When we went to Ghent Dodger.
Yeah.
You know what? Bless Europe. The no car spaces are awesome. Mm-hmm. And we need more of that here in the States, where it's just like, in this area, Don't bring your cars. Cars are not allowed. We ride bikes or walk. That's it. It was great. I love that stuff.
Jesse and I were losing our minds coming off the Eurostar.
Where was this?
In Ghent, Belgium.
Okay.
We were coming down the escalator. Look to our left. A sea of bikes.
Thousands of bikes.
Wow. Everybody had biked there. We were like,
that's awesome.
What?
Was
there's
everyone
an actual
beautiful?
Bike economy here.
Wow.
On the inside.
Oh, no. Everyone
the,
was.
Very least,
was
yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone was fit as hell. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's certainly bizarre to have places where, at least for an American, to see places where they're like, do not bring your car here. We don't want your car. Mm-hmm. This is a car-free area. And then to see
that's
people
awesome.
Where people are like walking in the streets, or there's cafes that have stuff in the streets. And for a brief moment during COVID, we had that here in LA,
mm-hmm.
where, for example, downtown Culver, no one was driving, so they put all the stuff in the streets. And you were like, we could have had this, y'all.
This could be what it's like. Yeah.
This could be our future. Yeah. That reminds me of when in 2016. Yes, 2016. I think it was 2016. When Pokemon Go came out that weekend. That
yeah.
beautiful. We had achieved world peace for like
Dude,
3 days.
I've never walked so much.
And everyone was so happy around you. Like, you were walking, you're doing Pokemon, you see everyone else collecting Pokemon, you're talking to people around.
Meeting
everyone's
up with
just
friends
in
at
this,
the pier just to go for a walk and catch Pokemon.
You're meeting up with friends, you're talking with people that you would normally not talk with because everyone just had something together. I love that shit. So like,
unless
that
you were
just
on the yellow
wonderful.
Team, in which case everyone hated you.
Oh, everyone hated you. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I was on the yellow
absolutely.
Team.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, no, I know. I'm aware.
We're not. That's not a surprise. It's all I'm just going to. So, what?
Go red or go dead, haters.
Yeah, you would be team yellow. Go red or go dead. Mm-hmm. Go blue or mm-hmm. just go home. Just
yeah,
get
blue,
off the
or poo, yellow blue or poo, yellow too mellow. Go red or go dead. Let's go, team red.
Goodness gracious.
I don't remember who I was. I think I was blue. I think I was blue. I wanted to make commercials. I was talking to some video editor friends at the time, but I wanted to make fun little YouTube commercials about all the teams, but they were themed off of the last, I forgot the movie. No, like with the Mockingjay, and it was
Hunger
like a
Games?
Battle Royale. Yeah, thank you, Hunger Games.
Yeah.
You know how those commercials those trailers in the last Hunger Games were all like these. It was like that white space. It was all that propaganda.
Right.
So I was like, I want to make Pokemon Go propaganda of all the teams. And I'm like,
we need more propaganda here in the U.S. for sure. if we could just get a little more
from a storytelling standpoint. I did that dystopian shit, and I'm all about it. You know, it leads to some interesting narratives.
Word.
Word indeed. word to your mother.
Word up.
word to your mother. Tell her I said hello. I hope your mom's doing great.
I think yeah. I think
word
she's
up
fine.
To your mothers.
Yeah. Word to all of your mothers.
To everyone's mom.
Have you called your mom yet today? If not, and you can, you should. And say that you
yeah. Yeah. You know, ask her about Pokemon and what team she's on. And if it's not red, get her out.
Get out.
Put her in a home.
I'm adopted. Ooh. Yeah. I saw an interesting topic, but I don't know if it's something that you want to talk about in chat.
Is it AI?
Yes.
We talked about AI a ton last week.
Okay, we don't have to talk
Although,
about it again.
Although, since then, they released those videos that look real, and it's too much.
It's terrifying. That's what I'm saying. Like, I saw that all on my Twitter feed since, I think, yesterday. Oh, where like a few, yeah, it was literally just like this AI video, and it looks way too real, and I don't like it.
Too real.
I don't like it.
Mm-mm. Not a
Do
fan.
Not like
I haven't seen
not
it.
Not a fan.
Yeah. But if we're gonna talk about CG stuff, can we instead talk about the fact that every like techno-y house, kind of like a big stadium event now, has giant screens with like apes or like sexy ladies dancing in the background, and it breaks. It's like 3D, but not
oh,
really.
Yeah.
I saw one the other day that was Shrek, and it scared the shit out of me. It was like Shrek vomiting on the audience, and I was like,
no,
I don't like this. I don't like where this is going. I hate this. However, I can imagine it would be scarring if you were like on one of those big party drugs and you went, I hate that. That's, I would be like, those are the worst, but they're like timed to the beat of the song. Oh, I don't like it. Oh, Dodge, right? Go find those videos. It's definitely like a festival.
I know what
thing.
You're talking about. Don't they have those in like Japan as well? Like those little corner advertisement displays.
Imagine that. Imagine that like corner advertisement in Japan where like the tire comes out, but it's a giant screen and it's either like a twig man dancing or like a sexy lady dancing or Shrek. And or they're Shrek. Just the Shrek one. It was like, this is going to date me, but it was on that sort of, like Skrillex, like, and you know, like more noise than music. Anyway, old man, Jesse
dubstep,
but like, you know,
sort of stuff,
but not dubstep, barely dubstep. Just like, you know, like,
womp, womp, womp.
You know, like that.
Yeah.
And
womp, womp, I can't about dubstep. But then it's Shrek. That's all I know.
But then it's Shrek.
But then
like,
it's Shrek.
Bleh, bleh. And I'm like, what is happening right now? It's crazy.
And everyone's like, yeah, Shrek vomited on
me. No, what makes it even worse is it's just 1,000 phones filming it. I didn't think anyone was having fun. They were just it's just a sea of phones filming. And I was just like, is this for promotion? Like, what it? Do people have fun anymore? What's the vibe here?
It's like that the Vegas Sphere or whatever the heck that is, that big advertisement sphere they have in Vegas now.
Although the inside of that's cool as shit. I want to go to
what,
a concert
the,
in
the
there.
The Uwu face?
What? Yeah. Inside the Uwu face is actually an event space that is cool.
I know there's nothing about there, that sphere except that if you're far away, it's just a cute sleeping face.
Oh.
Yeah. It costs $50,000
so
a
much.
Day to advertise on there, I think. Something like that.
So much.
It's pretty crazy. And then, but inside.
That wealth gap. Don't mind me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Inside is a, is like a, I don't know, like a 3D, 360, IMAX-y, bigger. I don't even know. But every time I see stuff in there, it's the coolest stuff I've ever seen. I'm just like,
okay,
I want to go there so badly.
Okay,
so badly.
I'm glad there's something that you can do to it or do with it, you know, and it's not just this giant advertisement sphere.
Unless
that you can see
it's
from
Shrek,
anywhere.
Unless they do vomiting Shrek, in which
oh,
case
I would vomiting
I'm out.
Shrek. I would vomiting Shrek at that. He's just walking around the sphere.
I'm telling you, when we're done here, go Google vomiting Shrek. I don't want to say techno because it's not techno, but like vomiting Shrek dubstep or something.
Okay,
and also it's 500,000 per day. I was way off.
Oh, okay. You said, did you say 50 million?
I said 50,000. I thought 50,000 seemed fair.
Oh, 50,000.
No,
okay.
No, it's 500.
But it did.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely go look up Shrek dubstep, and it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. I do not like it at all. It's scary. Another Shrek pops up and eats one of the Shreks, dude. It's terrifying. And he's got like red eyes, and he's like, God, he's like yelling.
That
it's
sounds
the
like
thing
those like
life.
Knock those like Spider-Man Elsa videos where you're like, I don't know, we're just testing shit. We're just seeing if we're just seeing what's gonna be picked up and what likes it. I don't know, Shrek vomiting and then angry Shrek eats the smaller Shrek. Let's just see
it's
what
YouTube,
happens.
It's
let's
YouTube
just go
poops,
for it.
But in augmented reality.
Yeah, except in real life. My life is now a YouTube poop. That's fantastic. Wonderful.
My life's always
Thank
been
you.
A YouTube poop.
I missed the part where Jesse explained where he saw this. The internet! What else? Yeah. What other explanation do you need? Solid on the internet.
YouTube.com/Shrek eats Shrek Vegas.
There's probably more than one video like that. You're like, I don't know. We're just seeing what the algorithm wants today. We're just seeing what the algorithm wants. Good stuff.
Yeah, it's already on Know Your Meme. Oh, I hate it. Oh,
no.
I hate it. It's Shrek rave visuals by Excision.
You witnessed
it's
the birth
EDM
of a meme
thing. Yeah. Shrek rave visuals is what you can look up. There you go. Done.
So,
it took two seconds.
So you saw this online. This wasn't like you were at an event of some kind and Shrek.
Do I look cool enough
audio.
To go to any sort of EDM rave?
Yeah. I don't. Well, I thought it was a football game. Oh, was this an EDM rave? Okay.
I just
want to
say for the record, Dodger coming in like, yes, you're fine. It's so sweet and wholesome, but inaccurate.
Yeah.
But
I think you're cool.
I wouldn't go to an EDM rave just because that just sounds loud and I don't like that kind of stuff. I don't like loud stuff. In my 20s, I was not the person that like went to the club every weekend. I think I would go with friends once or twice and I'm like, who would enjoy any of it? It's so loud.
Well, were you
here.
On drugs at the time?
No.
Well, there's your problem.
I know. I get it. Or just drunk out of your mind, apparently. And it's just.
No, drunk means you have to pee. You can't do that. You got to stay there all night and party. Drugs will solve that problem real quick.
I'm just saying, if you've got a place that is solved by taking copious amounts of drugs, I think you have a flawed design, is all I'm saying. I think you have a flawed product. I think so. I think so. Unless you're presenting it as like, hey guys, look, this is like a drug, I don't know, like add-on, you know what I mean?
A like, drug add-on?
I like
a
that,
drug
yeah.
add-on. Yeah.
I tend to believe a lot of products are that.
Okay.
That a lot of things are invented like, well, you're high. What are you going to do? You're not going to be bored. Here's what we're going to do for you. We have a whole line of things you can do. One of them is an EDM rave with Shrek.
We all right? We have a whole thing that you could do when you're bonked out on your mind.
it's drug DLC.
You want to see Shrek vomit at you? I don't know.
Yeah. No, thanks.
Drug-loadable content.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Drug-loadable content. That's what video games and movies are for, I thought, when you're thinking. We don't have to get into this topic. Anyways. Morning! Today we're talking about drugs.
Yep, that's what the kids like these days.
These days? Yep. I think it's always been that way, man.
Josh, you have that face that says it's time to rap. I can tell.
Yep, judgment mom face.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm just listening to my two sweet boys talk about drugs.
Making mental notes and saying who's going to be getting coal for Christmas this year.
Yo, I have a direct line to Santa.
Coal is a valuable resource.
Look, all I'll just say it is ever since Dodger became a mom, like you have developed big mom energy that is
more judgmental. You're right.
Unintentional, but there is that sort of like big mom energy where you're like, you're like, is that okay? Like, I don't want to make you upset.
I can't believe this. I'll be thinking about this for days.
Very much with my own mother. It's like, I'm joking around and I'm just like, we're good, right? Not Jesse. Jesse's fine. I don't care what he thinks. Dodge, are we okay?
You shouldn't care what I think. My thoughts? Toxic. Dicks. Just the worst. Absolutely. You don't want to know what's going on up here. Once you persona me, you're going to be like, oh my God.
We're never going back.
We shouldn't
back.
Have done this. There's no saving this.
Hey, can we skip this chapter? I don't want to do the Jesse gossip. Can we skip this entire
There are so many
day?
Dicks to fight. So many.
Why does he keep talking about nut cleavage in here?
There's
what?
Just...
It's dangling from the ceiling. What the heck?
The nut
you have
cleavages?
To punch him to get through.
Yeah, that's Jesse. In Jesse's mind, if you persona him.
Yeah.
Like little chandeliers.
You know what's interesting is we talked about testicles twice today.
Sorry. I apologize.
You don't have to say sorry. No. I'm bringing it up as an interesting anecdote. We talked about testicles twice today.
Two times.
One time when we got raided by a company.
Yes.
That's.
Thanks, guys.
You know. Thanks. Thanks.
Oh, I thought like a bud rated you. You mean you got like a whole comp?
Actual
whole
giant bomb, like the giant bomb said raid. And right when I was like,
I
let me tell
you
about
very much,
testicle
guys.
Cleavage.
Yeah. This is like, a lot of you will know who CoCarnage is. Very successful streamer. The one and only subathon that I've ever done in my life.
Mm-hmm.
He raided me with 10,000-ish people.
As you do.
Right at the time that I was writing the word fart in block letters on my neck.
Look, if they can't accept you at your fartiest, you
Sometimes.
Don't deserve...
Things just happen because they're meant to happen that way, you know?
It's just being genuine, you know? Yeah. That's just you just being a genuine, you know, if you don't
Absolutely.
Like this, that's okay. I'm not everyone's favorite cup of tea. I get it. It's fine.
I would genuinely love to know the analytics of that because you know when you raid someone, there's a drop off.
A huge drop off. Yeah.
And I would love to know how many people stayed around after fart.
Me too.
I would
love to know that.
I would
suspect more people stay.
Look, I think yeah, there's probably a batch of individuals that were like, yeah, this ain't my speed. But I think you earned some lifelong Dodger fans that way. They were like, that's my vibe. Writing yeah. fart on your neck, that's my vibe.
I've always that's wanted a fart tattoo. This person gets it.
On your neck?
Yes.
On the neck.
On
would
the
you
neck.
Ever get a tattoo on a visible part of your body?
I have I would. A tattoo like, on the visible part of my
no,
body.
No, like neck or face.
Oh, no, that's not, you have to be more specific. I don't want, no.
Totally.
I want to get, this goes back to Banishers. The tattoo Red has on his hand, I want that
it's
so
super
bad.
Super cool.
Cool ass hand okay. tattoo. Yeah. He's the coolest shit I've ever seen. I want it.
There's some really pretty finger tattoos that people get, mm-hmm. and every time I see them, I'm like, I want them. One day. Yeah.
Why not? Like, if you want them, why, just go for it.
Oh, I'm a big puss, so I wouldn't do it.
Oh, you don't like the pain?
No, not pain. I just don't like the idea that it's got to be good. It'd have to be perfect. Otherwise, I'd look at it every day.
Do you
like,
want to be 50 with this thing on your hand?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. All right. Do you want to be like 70, like a really old Jesse Cox with this thing on your hand?
I mean, as like that's part of
tattoos
what
just
I want.
Get better with age, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I want like a cool... I don't know, but like, I don't want to get a tattoo of like SpongeBob and have to explain it to a kid in 2070.
Oh my God.
Like,
I'm not.
Yeah, this is old SpongeBob.
Bro, no names, but there was a person mm-hmm. I went to high school with who last time I was on Facebook was like, I finally got my Minions tattoo.
Did you unfriend them immediately?
No, but all I could think to myself was like, God, I really hope that you still love Minions with all your heart.
Yes.
Later.
I
can't imagine getting a Minions tattoo. But I can't imagine getting like an anime tattoo. So like, what am I judging about, you know?
Wait, this was a friend in high school?
Yeah.
Was this recently?
That I still like follow on Facebook.
Yeah. Was this more recently?
She just got it. Yeah.
So in their 30s, they were like, Minions.
I love
that
Minions.
That is who I
yeah.
am. Wow. I mean.
I will say
okay.
that at least Minions... can't be well I guess they could be problematic down the line, but like when people get tattoos of there's a lot of stuff that I was like, man, that'd be a cool tattoo, or I'd love to get that symbol or this thing, but then 5, 6, 7 years later I'm like, I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God I didn't do that. I have to be the nicest man on earth, because at one CoxCon I saw a dude got a full leg Dantan style Jesse Cox tattoo.
Uh-oh.
And I can't become a piece of shit, because that guy will have to get that lasered off, and I don't want
that's
that
so
for
him. True. Yeah.
Oh, no.
So
oh,
I have to be
no.
the nice... I have to, like, be above everything, because that man got a tattoo, and I can't not... If that... I don't want him to have to take that off. That's... I would feel terrible.
I feel like, as content creators, we all have a moment in our lives where we're like, you realize what a big responsibility you have, and you're like, I gotta make sure I'm not a piece of shit. I love that yours was seeing this tattoo and being like, I can't fuck this up. I'm gonna ruin this man's life if I
have to be a smoothie poop forever.
Yeah, I'm on his leg permanently. I gotta be good.
Yep.
I gotta be good.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. That's why. Would any of you get a tattoo for a brand deal? If a brand came to you, paid you an absurd amount of money, and said...
Absurd is the right word.
Absurd,
yes.
What are we talking about?
Do you have a number?
How much?
Do you have a number? Oh, God, see, that's rough.
69,420,000.
100%. Are you kidding me?
I'd do that.
I'd do
it. Okay, $1 million. $1
million. Yeah.
No,
$1
million.
Dude, laser technology is so good now. Yeah. You can get that shit taken off so easy. It would hurt like a bitch. You'd have to go back in a few times, but like...
Knowing businesses, they're going to be like, you have to have the tattoo for like X amount of time, like obviously, but...
Yeah,
like,
your body becomes a walking billboard, so it's got to be more than $1 million. You know your worth, baby. You know your worth. You got to... I would demand at minimum 10. Minimum
Dodger,
10 million.
Dodger checked out at a million, but you're saying 10 mil. I would go for $1 million. Because again, laser that's exactly what she said. Laser technology, I could get that removed in whatever period
Set
of time.
Set some of that million aside and get rid of it.
Yeah.
Or tattoo over it, you know?
Absolutely. That would work.
No, I would. $10 million and I'll get a tattoo of like Wendy on my, a tramp stamp of Wendy from Wendy's.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. She's eating a chicken sandwich and she's like, tastes better going in than coming out. Wendy's.
Right? Oh, no.
Yikes.
Woof. Ow, wow. All right. See, there it is. There's that. There's the mom look. There's the doctor.
I can't say yikes.
It's inherent in you, my friend. It's inherent. I still remember one time I had a bunch of fan art tabs open and I was like, how do I close all these tabs? And Dodge is like, she said it in a way that was like my mom, like talking to me. It's like, you got to right click the tab and then press this. Okay. And I'm like,
don't let Dodger tell you anything about tabs. Every time I've ever looked at Dodger's screen, there's been 8 billion tabs open.
Oh,
I refuse
no.
to accept
Shall
that
I
she's
count?
The tab queen.
Shall I count right now?
Please do.
How? Why? Huh?
Okay, so.
Do you clear them daily?
No, of course not. Why would I do that? Okay,
Your
so.
Ram.
Whatever.
Your poor Ram.
Whatever. while I'm streaming, the any Twitch or streaming associated tabs are in one. So I've got two open right now because I have my dashboard open for the actual stream and then the stream together tab. And then I have the one that's just like open shit that I haven't wanted to close yet. And there's only 5. So I think it's not that bad.
Okay. That's all right. Do you guys keep
I have one tab open. It's for this show and I will close it when we're done.
That is such an old man response, Jesse. I just want you to know that right now. I only need one tab.
I have more than one. I'll forget. I'm old.
That's fair.
The Root Trees Are Dead game on itch.io.
Okay.
I have that open because even though it has a save button and it says that it's safe to turn it off and close the tab, I'm scared to close it. So
okay.
I save and then I just leave the tab open.
That's fair.
I have 2 Etsy tabs open because I'm looking for a fun wallpaper for my kitchen. I have a sealskins tab open because I want to buy my father-in-law some waterproof work gloves.
Aww.
And I have a YouTube video open about how fucked up everybody is that was on That 70s Show.
Girl, I was watching that video yesterday.
The algorithm.
Oh, they know, dude. They know.
So that's it. That's
Hold
everything
on.
That I've got.
Hold
open
on.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I would like to say for the record.
Yes.
I feel like out of everyone from that seven, Topher is doing pretty good. That dude seems like the most genuine,
the main,
normal
the
human being.
Main dude.
He bounced.
In that
he
show.
He bounced. Yeah.
Has never been
never
involved in a single
anyone.
Problematic
that's what I'm
thing.
Saying. Topher.
Does not associate with any of those people.
Yep.
And for so long, everybody was like, man, what's going on with him? Like, why did
because
they ostracize
he
him? He ostracized himself because the rest of them was so fucked up. Like, it's
he didn't
it's
he
wild.
Didn't hang out with. Yeah, the video, if it's the same video we that you saw, they were talking about how Topher hung out with no one on set, made no friends, clocked in, did his job, got the fuck out. He did not want to. And everyone's like, God, so stuck. And I'm like, that man was brilliant. That man was smart.
The person who made the video, for anybody who wants to watch it, it's long, but it's called Everything You Don't Know About the Cast of That 70s Show. In parentheses, they're cursed. it's an hour and 40 minutes long. I love long videos like that.
Videos.
In the video, she's like, the way that they kept trying to spin it was that he's a homebody and he just didn't want to hang out with anybody. But she was like, but literally every other thing he's ever been involved in, he's hung out with people. He's had a nice time. He's made
friends.
Pointedly did not make friends with anybody or spend quality time with anybody on That 70s Show.
His vibe meter must have been going through the
seriously,
freaking roof.
That dude must like really trust his gut. Thank God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I will say, I haven't watched this video, but I'm assuming it's talking about the kids. Because you can't say a bad thing about Red Foreman, damn it.
It's all about the kids. It's all about the kids.
There's a little
bit
of
is
that.
It? I didn't finish it. I didn't get that
really
far.
Really, Red? No.
Is
it because he killed RoboCop? Is that why?
No. It's not about that.
Son of a bitch killed RoboCop.
He killed RoboCop. He shot him so many times, dude.
Something about this new thing where like all these giant 3-hour essay videos are, and I watch them and I never thought I would. I mean, I break it up. I can't watch it straight, but I mean, like it's wild.
It's another algorithm change. Welcome to the new YouTube.
Yep.
Where before it was, it's got to be short.
A bunch of 20. Short videos. Yep.
And we're then back, they introduced literal videos. TikTok videos. Yep. And then the algorithm changed where it's like, well, you have your shorts. And now long videos. Following trends is slowly killing me. And I just want to let you know that
everyone
when I do die, in my obituary, it's blaming YouTube.
Fuck the algorithm.
Right up front, it's going to say, YouTube killed Jesse Cox. That's it. That's my obituary. I want it on my tombstone. I'm like, YouTube did it. Yeah. We don't need Sherlock Holmes. YouTube
my indoctrination to essay videos has to have been H Bomber Guy's The Oof Sound video, which is, I've watched that several times, and that is a massive essay. It's so, I love this essay meta where it's just like, yeah, it's like a little fun topic, and then we find a deep-seated evil that I have to now uncover, and you're just like, we're going for a freaking ride right now. Let's go.
Even though it isn't an essay on YouTube, the best version of I am watching a silly fun thing that turns out to be like, whoa. I don't know if it's still on Netflix. I don't even know if it was Netflix originally. Mm-hmm. But the Tickle Fight documentary.
Oh my God.
Yes! That was on HBO. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
So wild.
It's like, we're going to talk about the world of tickle fighting. And you're like, okay. And it's kind of goofy. And then it's like,
and then it's not.
Bro, what?
Yeah. And you're just like, I'm a part of this ride now. Let's go.
Yeah. I think last time we talked about something adjacent to this, I had suggested Jenny Nicholson's Evermore Park video. Is that same sort of a thing where she was like, I just love theme parks. She makes videos and talks about theme parks all the time. So she was like, I'm going to talk about this theme park because it was like bigged up as like this cool idea. And, you know, they're reopening and all this stuff. And literally all she planned to do was go to this park and see how it was and wound up finding out so much about the inner workings of this park and all of this like drama and like. It's fascinating. It's such a long video, but she in the video is like, I didn't plan on this, okay?
Yeah.
They're going to be so mad at me for making this video, but like, I literally just wanted to come to your park and have a nice time, okay?
Those are the best videos, because where you're just genuinely like, yeah, I'm just doing a video on this topic, and then it took a really weird turn, and now I'm going down this rabbit hole, and man, it's so wild. I love it. I'm here for this new meta. I'm not a part of this new meta. That is not for me. But yeah, that's great. You know, yeah. I'm just thankful. You know, D&D sessions. Which, to be fair, my D&D sessions run short because I just don't have the same attention span and energy as I used to. But
makes
I also
them more
feel
accessible.
Like, and that's
to
what
not
I think.
Be
I
like 4 hours long most of the time.
I've always been of the belief that it does make it a little bit more accessible so that you're not sitting watching a 4 to 6 hour roll. Now, if you like it and that's the style you like, I get it. I do not have the attention span, sadly, or the energy. I get sleepy. I get very tired.
And Jesse needs to poop. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it is.
I do it for all the Jessies in the world that you need. You know, someone's got to poo. I get it. I get it.
Yeah. Speaking of watching things, we do have to wrap up now.
Okay.
But
I was about to say.
Brett.
Yes.
So something we ask all of our lovely guests to do is to suggest homework to chat. It can be a game. It can be a movie, a show, a book, anything you want. Something that you think people should really give a shot.
Okay. Ooh, very interesting. Okay, so I think mine, I won't do a promo because that would be scummy, but I
You should read the book, Why
you
Slay Dragons.
Buy my book. That's a fun homework. No, recently in December, I don't know why, but I was like, I want to play Doom again. Not the 2016 version, like the 1991, 92 John Romero Doom. Yeah.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, I'm gonna download Doom. I downloaded GZ Doom, which uses a copy of Doom that you already have, so it's not piracy. Mm-hmm. So if you just get a copy of Doom on like Steam, I'm sure it's really cheap. and you get the GZ Doom add-on, and you could like adjust lighting and all that stuff. But one of the cool things about it is you can actually use your mouse to aim, to like it look around and aim like in modern first person shooters, because in back in the day it was you were looking left and right and kind of like doing this weird auto aim thing. So if you haven't played Doom, or you haven't played Doom in a while, give that a download. Download GZ Doom. It was just I was so surprised how it stood the test of time. It was so much fun. I was playing on and play it on a difficulty you're comfortable with. I played it on Ultraviolet, and it was just a blast from like the 90s. And I was like, this. I went through Doom. I went through all the episodes of Doom. I went through Doom 2. I tried playing Doom 3. I couldn't get through it. I got bored. And yeah, so play an old game you haven't played in a while and see if it stands the test of time.
That's, old Doom that's my would be really fun to do. I used to watch my brother play it when I was little.
It was so much fun, and like you're strafing, you're trying to avoid all. There's so many in Ultraviolence. There's so many enemies, so you're constantly. It's this adrenaline high action, and it's in the 90s, but it still was so much fun. So that is what I recommend personally. Either that or just play an old game. If you're into D&D style games, I would give Neverwinter Nights a try. 2001 Neverwinter Nights. It uses the 3.0 rule set, but it's a ton of. If you're a big fan of Baldur's Gate, you don't mind going back to something a little more old school. Neverwinter Nights, 2001 Neverwinter Nights was wonderful. So, those are my recommendations.
Awesome.
Play old shit. Play an old game. Yeah, you haven't played
GZ,
in a while.
Like George GZ Doom.
Yeah. GZ Doom. Yeah. And nice. All it is just an executable, and you can just adjust. And the thing is, you could adjust lighting. There's a bunch of tutorials on the side of like, here's some ideal layouts, you know, that you want to do, because you can really go in and just adjust like the rendering, the lighting, the, you know, widescreen, all that stuff. Like, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely go for it.
Awesome.
That's my recommendation for you.
Fantastic. Very cool. Thank you, Brett.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Chat, thank you so much for listening to / watching Geekenders. This has been our lovely guest, Brett. Brett, do you want to tell everybody where they can find you and what you're up to and about your book, probably?
Yeah, I can do that. Okay. The one thing about content creators is we hate selling our own shit because we don't want to sound so scummy.
Nobody else is gonna.
Yeah.
You're the only one who's gonna do it.
Hi, I am Brett Ultimus. I have a DM on YouTube. I run the IO campaign series. I run many campaigns in this big open sandbox world. I DM Dodger and Jesse and Deadbeats on Thursdays, 4 p.m. EST. You can check out all of my D&D sessions on youtube.com/worldofio. I have just released my first ever D&D book, which is so awesome. It's a 318-page book about fishing. It's called Why Slay Dragons Spooky Fishing. It brings fishing into your 5e world. 318 pages, 12 subclasses, over 100 items, over 200 fish, 24 NPCs, a bunch of creature blocks, all themed around fishing, and just bring fishing into your game. You can get the digital PDF on iopublishing.com, and the hardcover book should be out sometime in May or June, depending on manufacturing. And since this is the first book I'm ever manufacturing, I don't know what the hell to expect. So I'm hoping it goes well. I hope we don't have to delay it too much, but it's my first time and I'm learning along with everyone else. So yeah, pick up the PDF.
From what I've heard, people are very happy with it.
Yes, so, I'm
that's good.
So ecstatic, because it's exactly what you said. I just want to make cool stuff for your game that you can have fun with. That's it. That's all it is. Make people happy. That should be your business model, personally. Why are you laughing, Jesse? Why are you laughing?
Make people happy. It's a good business model. I'm excited for you.
It's a great.
Why can't I smile?
Because you were laughing. I just didn't know if there was something
I'm
else.
I'm laughing with joy.
Okay.
Oh, goodness. Goodness gracious. I hear it now. I hear the mom voice. Yeah.
I knew she was going to say that.
Thank you all so much for watching. Hey, if you showed up like halfway through this and you're like, I can't wait to watch the VOD, it will not be here. It will be on youtube.com/JesseCox. That's where all of the Geekenders VODs are. Also, Jesse puts up our audio on all of the podcasty things.
Hell so yeah.
If you want to just listen to us podcast styles and not see us, you know, mug at the camera,
why
you can find us.
Why bother though? Like, what about? Come on, baby. Oh
yeah! Wow, beautiful! Wow. Oh, yeah.
Jesse, can I ask? Because people are going to go to your all, you know, the podcast sites and go to your YouTube channel.
Go on,
not
here to answer.
Can you list all of the podcasts you're part of right now? I'm just curious, because I think it's four, right?
I am on this show, which is the most important because I'm currently on it.
Absolutely.
Cox and Crendor, Chilluminati, and I do a Star Wars book club where we read the old Star Wars books from like the 1970s and 80s. So there you go. That's it.
I did not know about the last one. That's really
I've fallen asleep to that one a lot because I don't know shit about Star Wars, but I like my friends.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's very sweet.
It's nice.
And Dodger, how many podcasts are you currently a part of right now?
One.
Those are rookie numbers.
I think that's it.
I love the idea of you just forgetting about a podcast you're a part of and you do not trust your brain.
I think it's
whatsoever.
Oh my gosh.
You know what? That's smart. One is enough.
We used to do a manga one called Manga Pod.
Yes, I remember
that. I haven't
done
that in a long time. Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe one day it'll come back. Who knows?
You should bring it back.
I know. Yeah. It was fun. Mm-hmm.
You should do a Peppa Pig podcast. Sorry. The Pig podcast. Anyways,
Peppa Pig one shot is on the way, though.
Woo!
Yeah. It's going to happen with Jesse Cox as a...
Pig?
Dog?
It's me! Australian Pepper!
That's not Australian.
With Jesse Cox playing the coveted role of Peppa Pig herself. Woo! Tune in one day.
It's me, Peppa Pig.
Peppa Pig. Have an amazing weekend, guys. We will see you again next Friday. Take care of yourselves and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geekenders podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger. What up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geekenders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time. On gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.